So there's a section on Highway 17 near the exit, somewhere around Monroe for 87. And every time we get in that spot, we tend to remember exactly what we forgot about. It happens on holidays, birthdays, the Sutter family. We load up the minivan and we'll pack for a day or two. It's a family of six, so it means packing up just about everything but the kitchen sink. The kids won't forget their toys, but we'll head over to Long Island or New Jersey or Pennsylvania, and we want to see family, and it's great once we get there. We just got back from spending Thanksgiving on Long Island with Ashley's family. It was a good time, but there's a spot right on 17 where usually, or I should say more times than I want to admit, right around that exit for 87, Ashley or I, we look at each other, and one of us with a tinge of embarrassment in their voice, and I'll just tell you up front, it's usually me. We say, "You won't believe it," but the other person does, because it usually happens around the exit. We say, "I forgot. I forgot to pack," and it's always something, and it's always something different. A charger or a jacket. Normally nothing big, like we learn the hard way that we have to count the kids before we leave. You know, we don't want a home alone situation here. But when you got a lot going on, you know what's easy? It's easy to forget important things. And we're just trying to get out the door with a jacket for everybody, with enough stuff to keep alive for a couple days. But I'll just admit, it is so easy to forget important things. And sometimes it's silly, like maybe you've done this, but sometimes I'll be driving in my car, sitting at a stoplight, and I'll panic because I don't know where my car keys are. And I'm sitting in traffic, checking my pocket, thinking about the last time I saw my car keys, and my car's running. Like, we've all done, don't give me that look. You've forgotten stuff too, right? You've gone in a room and forgot while you're there, or where you parked. Today's Sunday, by the way. I know some of you, it's a week where everything's off. Remembering things is hard, especially for people who are so busy, so distracted, and so tired, and it becomes easy to forget even the most basic important things. Like, by the way, if you're driving a car and it's running and it's not a brand new car, the keys are probably in the ignition, right? Our biggest problems aren't typically about ignorance. It's not like you need to know more stuff. Our problem is that we forget the things that we already know. We know what we should do, we just forget. I mean, think about the most rewarding things you do in your whole life, or think about the thing that will cause the most damage. Usually, those things are obtained or struck because of things you already know, you just forget or remember. Our problems typically aren't ignorance. Our problem is forgetfulness. I mean, again, think about the actions you take that incrementally change your life in really good ways or bad ways over time. Like, for most of us, the secret to success isn't a secret at all. We don't need any more hints or new information at all. Our problem, the secret, is to consistently remember to do what you already know you should do. Now, we are going to finish our series going through the book of 1 Thessalonians this week. And we are in a section of the book labeled in most of your Bibles, it's just the top of the paragraph says final instructions. And we're going to have some final instructions today. It's a series of terse, unexpanded, I'm just going to be honest, it feels like a to-do list. And I'm going to add a disclaimer up front. We do all these things not to make God love us more or to save us. The instructions we go over today are things that you should not forget. Things that we do to live out a life consistently based out of what we believe as Christians, out of our faith and our love, which is a lot of things. Paul could have written a bunch more chapters to Thessalonians. He actually writes another book creatively titled 2 Thessalonians. But instead of expanding on each of these, he just gives us a short list that honestly it feels like a checklist. We're about to read some of the very shortest verses in the whole Bible. If you're looking at Bible memory verses, you'll find some of the most short verses in the whole Bible in the text we have today. But what's invaluable about this is that we're about to read a list of things that we need to remember, things that we often forget. We forget because life is chaotic. We get distracted, tired, disoriented. And honestly, what might help you more than anything else might just be to remember. All right, without any further introduction, here is your checklist that Paul leaves us with. It's 1 Thessalonians, the middle of verse, or chapter 5, it's verse 12. Here we go. Now we ask you, here's number one, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. There's the longest thing. It's the first thing on the list. Here it is. Don't forget people in your church family who work hard on your behalf. Don't forget the people who care about you. Don't forget the people who admonish you, which is kind of a churchy word for the people who nudge you and encourage you, who ask you where have you been, ask you how your devotions are doing, how they can pray for you. Don't forget the people who serve you. Instead, love them, respect them, thank them, honor them. The first thing not to forget is the people in your church family who help you. Now, the only way church communities work is with gratitude. Now, this is a problem. I'll tell you why. You've heard this saying, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. You know what that means? It means that people who don't squeak, who don't make a fuss, those people don't get a lot of attention. There's a bit of a reverse incentive structure in communities. If you're doing okay, if you're consistently working, if you don't complain, you get taken for granted. That's just how it works. People forget you. People don't notice you. And Paul says it shouldn't be that way. Don't take faithful people for granted. Honor them instead. You know what's easy to do when you're busy? You know what's really easy when life is chaotic? It is easy to forget your support system. It's easy to forget the people who demand the least amount of attention, the people who are always there. The people you count on are the people you forget. This is Paul's instruction for forgetful Christians. Step one, instead of taking the people around you for granted, thank them, acknowledge them. Acknowledge people who work hard in church communities. Complaining is easy. Working hard consistently to make things better is hard. Now, I gotta admit, this first one might be the one I have to work on the most, because me personally, I'm a pastor. I tend to give a lot of attention to the squeaky wheels. There are people who need help. There's people who are going through crises or are vulnerable and are needy. And I tend to focus on them, and I forget sometimes about the people who I can always count on, the people who don't need me as much. The fact is, even in a room like this, we're surrounded by a community of people who faithfully work hard at caring for each other. I could spend a whole day naming many of you, from leaders who pour over things like budgets and projects, to people who lead Bible studies and make meals and send shut-ins flowers or pray or invest in our kids. Like, God notices all of this, and the rest of us should notice this too. This is something I'm working on. I'm trying to get better at this, to be honest. This is in the weeds. I've got a big stack of thank you cards. I'm about halfway through my office. And confession time, my handwriting is just so bad. Some of you are going to get either, it's either going to get lost in the mail or you're going to get typed out notes. I got to think about that for a bit. But long story short, first thing you need to remember is the people around you. Don't take hardworking people who support you for granted. Instead, thank them. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to have to shorten this up a little bit. Number two, Paul says, live in peace with each other. That's number two. live at peace with each other. This is hard. Lots of church families are broken families because what should be a wonderful, loving, supportive community that gathers around God's glory and loving folks, somehow that gets toxic sometimes. Church families can get filled up with grudges and offensive. You can hear about people, you can talk to people who don't go to church, who are lonely and isolated, going in bad directions. And many of them will tell you they end up there because, insert a story about a community that should be supportive that lacks peace. That it's possible for people gathered around following Christ, it's possible for them to focus on tearing people down instead of building people up. They forget, well, number three, so to be clear, be at peace with your church family, but also don't forget to speak up. Verse 14, I'm just going to read it. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. This could be a bunch of things on a to-do list. I'm just going to make it one. Speak up. Sometimes we don't care enough about people to speak up. We forget this. The fact is there are people who have problems, and it's easier to ignore them. It's easier to forget about them, but we ought to speak up wherever they are in this verse. Encourage those who are working hard. Warn the idle. Discourage those who are working against the betterment of a community. The fact is you have the opportunity to make things better by speaking up. And I think every day we have the chance to use our words to change people. Sometimes you wonder why folks are in such bad spots. I wonder if the fact is that there's no one in their life who's encouraging them, coaching them, nudging them to do better. The problem with doing this, and I think the reason why a lot of us are really hesitant to speak up, we don't want those awkward conversations. One reason is that it is easy to spiral into becoming petty. People argue about things, they get defensive and insecure. So Paul says, next thing not to forget, don't let it get personal. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. The fact is, when you're hurt, when you're offended, when your pride reacts to someone warning you or encouraging you, it's so natural for our heads to go into competitive places. And you find yourself defending yourself, and you can actually find yourself hoping that people get what's coming to them. And in those moments, we forget. I'm just going to read the next verse. Next thing to not forget, make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but here's what you need to remember. Always strive to do what's good, so that's for each other, so that's us, and don't forget to do good, or strive to do what's good for everybody else. Do you know who everybody else is? Everybody else is everybody else. It's the people on TV we shake our heads at and go, I don't understand these people. It's the friends who you haven't talked to since the last election. It's the people on different sides of different protests. Don't use your words for payback. Instead, always strive to do what is good for each other and for everybody else. Next up, if you're looking for Bible memory verses, this is one of the shortest in the entire Bible. Rejoice always. Don't forget to have joy. To be clear, it's not saying you can't process emotions. It's not saying you shouldn't grieve with those who grieve. It's not saying you shouldn't process emotions. It is saying there is a deliberate choice you need to make, and it's to have joy before God. And you think this is the sort of thing Paul must have learned as a child reading the Psalms written through tears by oppressed people, to rejoice in difficulty because God's got this. No matter what you go through, faith, hope, love says you can celebrate God's glory. Next verse, short verse, pray continually. Another good memory verse. Literally, pray without failing. Like, don't forget to pray. And it says this because it's really easy to forget to pray. Instead of forgetting to pray, don't fail to take time to bring your needs and your praise before God. Psalm 105, verse 4 puts it this way. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Good times, bad times, when things make sense, when things don't make sense, look to the Lord. There's a lot here. The next one is actually really good for this week. It's on theme. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. In other words, here's what you can't forget. Don't forget to be grateful. One commentator put it this way. He says, the phrase in everything does not yield to easy deluding. In other words, all circumstances means all circumstances. It does not call for a gratitude that is merely in proportion to the pleasantness of one's circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. No matter what you're going through, good times, bad times, you will be better off for giving thanks. Let me just read one more phrase. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, without getting too nerdy here, I'm just going to add, this last thing after the semicolon isn't another to-do list. And I'm not going to get into the Greek grammar, but this last clause, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, for grammatical reasons, it refers specifically to the last three things on the list. In other words, the last three things he's brought up has a lot of weight to it. Have you ever prayed, God, what's your will for me? God, what do you want me to do next? As you're navigating roads in the journey of life, God, which way should I take? Where do you want me to end up? What should I do tomorrow or the next day? God, I've got big decisions to make here. If you've ever prayed that, this verse is helpful. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know what that is? Always pray continually, rejoice, and be grateful, no matter what your circumstances are. That is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But we're not done. Let's keep reading. Verse 19 says we ought to listen. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. In other words, keep your ears open to what God is telling you. I think practically that means read the scriptures, listen to the spirit in your heart, listen to you, evaluate it. Lots of people have opinions in Christian community. There are lots of people who read the Bible and say, this is how God wants you to parent. This is God wants your parenting, your marriage, your entertainment. This is what sports team you should cheer for. He adds, for each of these opinions, look at verse 21. Listen, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. How do you evaluate? I mean, don't forget to evaluate. Paul doesn't say exactly how. I think Paul assumes that Christians already have some idea of how to evaluate opinions, whether it's good or bad. He doesn't say how. All he says is don't forget to evaluate what people tell you. Ignore the good, or hold on to what's good, reject every kind of evil, but evaluate the information you get in your life. The fact is, a lot of the advice, trends, philosophy, stuff floating around, some of it has evil in it, so reject it. All right, folks, that is your very list of instructions. Don't forget them. We need this. You're all on a journey of life with lots of twists and turns, surprises, distractions. We're all so busy and tired, and we're all more likely than we want to admit to forget important things. So today, you've got a to-do list as a Christian living out of grace, forgiven in a church family. Here's what God's called you to remember. In fact, as I go over this list again, I'm going to give you an assignment. You have it printed in your handout. Your assignment is, as I review this, I want you to think about maybe one or two things. What are you most likely to forget? What do you look at and go, yeah, I forget this. Here's a list. Remember those who work around you. Live at peace. Speak up. Remember, warn those who step out of line. Console the downcast. Help the weak. Be sympathetic toward everyone. Don't forget that. Number four, make sure that no one pays back evil for evil. Number five, instead, always find a way to do good to one another. Number six, always rejoicing. Never stop praying. And everything, be thankful, listen, and evaluate information. Hold on to the good. Keep away from the evil. This is your list, and it's joyful. And the situation of the Thessalonican church, it didn't lend itself easily to optimism or rejoicing. They knew a lot about suffering. And I think God wanted them and wants us to learn how to celebrate in the midst of it. Learn how to thank God in whatever circumstances you find yourself in, no matter what your difficulty looks like. I will add, as hard as it is to do this, I think the only way we pull it off is by stopping and remembering how much we need God, His glory. And I think we only can do this if we can grab what is good and hold on to it fast, as which this verse says. And of course, just because it's concise or easy to put on a screen, just because the verses are really short, it doesn't make it easy. Short doesn't mean simple. Rejoicing is hard. Navigating people is complicated. And Paul, I think, as he concludes this list, don't forget, he points to what we still need. The fact is, you can't do this by yourself. So he prays this prayer that I think all of us need. May God himself, the God of peace, may he sanctify you, like change you to be more holy through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love the next verse. This is a promise to cling to. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Folks, we're all busy. We're all distracted, looking forward, looking backward. The question is, what might you be forgetting? What is something I forgot? What's on the list? Is it to remember those who work among you? Is it to live at peace? Have you forgotten to speak up, to nudge someone who needs to be coached? Have you forgotten to break the cycle of transactional vengeance? Have you forgotten to do good to people or to always rejoice? Do you forget to pray or be thankful or evaluate? That's your list. And this is what this amazing church in Thessalonica remembered. In the midst of lots of disappointment, obstacles, and trials, they achieve this spectacular community. Again, I just think about the first verse of the book. Paul writes, we remember before our God and Father the work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, this is an amazing church that Paul writes to. This is a church that changed the world. And our calling is to imitate them. So don't forget what God's called us to do. And I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to tell you which one you're most likely to forget on your journey of life, but here's what I believe God is calling you to do today. Take one, take two. Look at your list, circle it. Tell yourself between you and God, or tell someone close to you maybe. Over the next couple weeks, I'm going to remember to do this. I'm going to get better at something I forget, and here it is. Pick one. You already know what mine is. What's yours? Don't forget what's important. And let's together work toward being the kind of church family that God is building to bring glory to himself and to make this world a better place. So Father in heaven, I pray that you'd help us to praise you, that you'd help us to be grateful, that you would convict us by your Spirit of the things that we sometimes forget in our busyness, in the chaos, in our disappointment, in our stress and anxiety. We sometimes forget one of these things. And could you remind us? Can you nudge us? Can you use people around us to speak up to us? And can you, as a faithful God, can you do it? Can you make us more and more holy as we follow you? Father, help us to remember the lessons to the Thessalonican church. Can you use us to live out of gratitude for all you've done to forgive us our sins as we trust in you because of your sacrifice on the cross? I ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.